We're going to look at where Jesus came from, and I might need your help in a moment. I want to explain something to you in a moment, young people. But I thought we'd skip the long reading because we often do. But actually, I think we're going to read it, Matthew chapter 1, and this is called the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah. And the genealogy is our family line, where we've come from. So I'm going to read Matthew 1:1. This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez, the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram, the father of Aminadab. Aminadab, the father of Nahshon. Nahshon, the father of Salmon. Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse. And Jesse, the father of King David. And David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Solomon, the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam, the father of Abijah. Abijah, the father of Asa. Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, the father of Jehoram. Jehoram, the father of Uzziah. Uzziah, the father of Jotham. Jotham, the father of Ahaz. Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was the father of Manasseh. Manasseh was the father of Amon. And Amon, the father of Josiah. And Josiah, the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. And after the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel, the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the father of Abihud. Abihud was the father of Eliakim. Eliakim was the father of Azor. Azor, the father of Zadok. Zadok, the father of Akim. Akim, the father of Elihud. Elihud, the father of Eleazar. Eleazar, the father of Matan. Matan, the father of Jacob, and Jacob was the father of Joseph, who was the husband of Mary, and Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. Isn't it interesting? Fascinating. Can you come round here a second? Because I want to show you something, and I want to show you in such a way that the older people behind you will be able to see, because I don't know if you were listening, but I've just read a long list of names with Jesus at the bottom and whose father and whose father and whose father all the way back. And I want to show you something that's very, very precious to me. And I hope this is very, very old. This is 170 years old. And this is my family. Mind the candles, thank you. Yeah. What you guys can do is just sit down, just right there, because I hope you're interested. Are you interested in my family?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Peter. Thank you so much. I want to just to explain a little bit about my family. I've got my crib sheet here, but this old man here, and this is his wife next to him, this is their 50th wedding anniversary. Who here has had a wedding at 50th wedding anniversary recently? Oh, Bill and Eileen, yeah, a few, okay. This is their 50th wedding anniversary in 1851, so 170 years ago, is that right? Yeah, no. Well, I'm not here, but my seed is here, you see. So it's their party, and they've gathered. This is John Leach Panter, and this is his wife, Sarah. I've got to go. I don't think I ought to go slowly. I think I ought to go quite quickly. But anyway, this is John Leach Panter, the old boy, and his wife here, Sarah. And between them, they had five children, and all their five children are here. But their second son was a man called John Edward Panter, and that's him there, this one. This is John Edward Panter. That's John Leach Panter. This is John Edward Panter. And John Edward Panter, with his wife, who's here, had three children. And they're here, one, two, and three. Okay? And their second child is this little boy here. Now, the thing about him is that he looks like he's in a dress, which in those days doesn't mean the same thing as it might today. So this is their second son, and his name is John Arthur Panter, okay? So we have John Leach Panter, we have John Edward Panter, and we have John Arthur Panter. Now, of course, in this picture, he's just a little boy, okay? But when he grew up, he married a lady called Charlotte, okay? And they had a number of children. I think it was five. And one of their children, who's not in the picture, obviously, was a lady called Monica. That's a lovely name. And I'll let you know now that Monica is my grandmother, okay? So he, this little boy, when he got married, he had a number of children. Yes, not this Monica. And one of their children was called Monica. And Monica married a man called Cecil. Can you say Cecil? Cecil, that's right. And Monica and Cecil had seven children. The youngest of those children was a boy who grew up to be a man called Patrick. Patrick married a lady called Janet. And Patrick and Janet are my mum and dad. So, although I'm not here, this is my family, okay? So, my father is called Patrick. His mother, my grandmother, was Monica, and my grandfather was Cecil. My great-grandfather is John Arthur Panter, this little boy here. My great-great-grandfather is his father, John Edward Panter. And my great-great-great-grandfather is John Leach Panter. Okay? So this is my family tree from a long, long time ago. And there's something interesting about this. Well, I find it interesting. And that is this, is that actually there are two branches of my family in this, through my father, not through my mother. That's a whole other family tree. There are two branches because John Leach Panter, as I said, had a number of children, and he had a daughter called Sarah, and this is Sarah here, all right? And Sarah married a man called Dominic, and his name was Dominic McCausland. And Sarah and Dominic McCausland had three children who are here. These glasses keep falling off, I'm sorry. And their children are here. Four children. One, two, three, and four. Okay? And one of their children is this lovely boy here. He became, just out of interest, interesting things in families' trees, but he was the governor of Singapore. And his father was the governor of Malta. Very important people. He was a very important person, but I'm not going to boast. So these two, this is Dominic McCausland, who's not his son, but this is married to his daughter. And this boy is Marcus Francis McCausland. And Marcus, when he got older, he got married and he had a baby boy called Cecil. Cecil McCausland. You see, so his son ended up marrying his daughter. Now, that may say a lot about me. It's all right, they were second cousins. Don't get too excited. It's perfectly legal. So can you see why this picture is important to me? Is because this is my family. And actually, my family, I come from this little boy here and this young man here. It was a tent. It was a tent in their garden. Anyway, I'm going to be very, very careful with that. Because I think family trees are important. And I think the reason, now you guys, you can go back to where you were, because what Monica has done for you, she's done you a little family tree. Can you see? And if you want to have one of those, and you can colour in, and you can give a name to your daddy, to your mummy, and you can draw a picture of you here, and if you've got a brother or sister, you can put them there as well. Okay? But Monica's got those, and while I just say one or two things to others, I think family trees are important, and Matthew and Luke include Jesus's family tree because it's important. It tells us a lot about Jesus. It tells us where Jesus came from. And I just want to spend a couple of minutes. If you've got Matthew 1 open and Luke 3, I read a long list. But Matthew summarizes at the beginning. Who are the important people that Matthew wants to mention? And in fact, he mentions it in verse 1. Who are the key ancestors of Jesus who Matthew particularly wants to identify? Shout them out to me. David and Abraham. So that's Matthew chapter 1. Could I have the slides up here, Barry? Matthew, can you do the next one? I don't know what the next one is. It says, verse 1 says, this is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So we could, in effect, do without all the other verses. But Matthew uses them because they're of interest. But actually, Matthew wants to draw our attention to the fact that Jesus is a descendant of Abraham and David. And throughout their books, the Gospels, Matthew and Luke in particular, they show that Jesus is the Messiah by the things that he does. So they recount the stories of Jesus, what Jesus did, to show that he was the Messiah. But they demonstrate it. They give his, if you like, his lineage, the legal line that he can be, not yet, that he can be the Messiah through his lineage. That's why it's so important. No one can just come along and say, well, I'm the Messiah. They had to prove it. And they had to prove it by what they did, which was what the Gospels are full of, and by who they were. And so Matthew and Luke are very keen to say to their readers, look, Jesus's line is through Abraham and through David. Because the Messiah had to come from David and from Abraham. Can anyone tell me why? Why did the Messiah have to come through Abraham? Or through David? Exactly. Because of the promises. And I don't know if you remembered, but in the first song that we sang, chorus or verse on one of these. Where is it? Holy child, what gift of grace from the Father freely willed, in your infant form we trace all your promises fulfilled. Verse 3. The Messiah had to come through Abraham, through Abraham's family, and through David's family because of the promises that God had made. And everybody expected that the Messiah would fill those. Now, who can tell me what the promise was? Not yet. The promise of Abraham, that God made to Abraham. What was the promise? Sorry? All the nations of the earth will be blessed. Thank you. Genesis chapter 12. God said to Abraham, through you, the whole earth will be blessed. And what was the promise to David? What was God's promise to David? Anyone? Thank you, Jeffrey. What was it? that there will be somebody from David's line always on the throne, on David's throne. Your family and your kingdom shall last forever. Those are the promises that God made to Abraham and to David. And Luke traces Jesus' family line back to another very important person, Luke chapter 3. This is probably a too difficult question to ask because I've been dwelling in it all week, but I can tell you, let me tell you, the point of Luke's genealogy of Jesus is Adam. And if you look at the very end of the genealogy, it is Adam. Adam is Jesus's descendant. It is Jesus's, what is it? Forefather. And that's really important. Adam, the Son of God, it says in verse 38. Jesus is declared to be the Son of God, both by the voice that came from heaven in chapter 3, verse 22, at his baptism, and by his family tree. Jesus' ancestor, his great ancestor, Matthew takes us back to Abraham and David. Luke takes us all the way back to Adam. And of course, Adam was the one through whom it all went wrong in the first place, wasn't it? He was tempted by the devil. He disobeyed God. Sin entered the world, and we were separated from God. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God made another promise. What was the promise? It was a curse. But it was a promise, if you like. What was it? That God spoke to the serpent. Sorry? Okay, yeah. We use it every Christmas. It's God said to the serpent that one day a descendant of Adam would come and destroy Satan and his work and thus reconcile humankind to God. Adam, this is God to the serpent, Adam will crush your head and you will strike his heel. That was the promise of God, possibly the first promise that God had ever made. And it spoke about a descendant of Adam who would come and destroy Satan and all his works. And this is the point. In Jewish expectation, we've been talking about preparing ourselves. In Jewish Old Testament expectation, the Messiah was the one who would fulfill these three promises and a whole lot more. But the point is this. As we read the Old Testament and as we get to the end of the Old Testament, we're left with a question. Because the promise to Adam hasn't been fulfilled. God and people and humankind have not been reconciled to each other. The promise to Abraham, where all the nations would be blessed, has not been fulfilled. And the promise to David, that somebody would sit on David's throne forever, has not been fulfilled because there was no king. So you get to the Old Testament, you think, hang on, these promises of God have not been fulfilled. So the expectation was that when the Messiah came, he would fulfill those promises. But as soon as you turn into the New Testament, into Matthew's Gospel, Matthew and Luke demonstrate that Jesus is the one we have been waiting for. Jesus is the descendant of Abraham, through whom God would bless the whole world. Jesus is the descendant of David, who would re-establish David's kingdom and rule on his throne forever. And Jesus is the descendant of Adam, the true Son of God, who would come and destroy Satan's work and restore all things to the way they were meant to be, including restoring our relationship with God. Jesus is the one. Can you sense the excitement and the importance of these genealogies? The expectation was there, but it hadn't been fulfilled. But Matthew says it's fulfilled. Here he is, Son of Abraham, Son of David, Son of Adam, Son of God. And of course, as we read the New Testament, we see that is exactly what Jesus did. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, "For since death came through a man, so the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as Adam, and in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." And in his first letter, 1 John 3, John wrote this, The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. And in Luke chapter 1, we've already read it this morning. The angel Gabriel says to Mary about the baby she will bear. No, go on. Up. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. So the gospel writers are very clear. Jesus is the one. Jesus is the one we've been waiting for. Jesus is the one who's going to fulfill these promises that God made to Adam, to Abraham, and to David. And one last thought, you got a hint of it there, about this. It's been said many times that God has no grandchildren. God has no grandchildren. Nothing. God doesn't have a family tree like this. But this is a picture of God's family tree. God and me. Isn't that wonderful? God doesn't have grandchildren. God and me. But John writes in John chapter 1, in 1 John 3, "Behold what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. When we put our faith in Jesus and accept for ourselves everything he has done, we are adopted into God's family as his children. And the Bible says, "You did not receive the spirit of slavery, but you have received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Daddy, Daddy, Father."